panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au.
3CR 855am, 3CR digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR on demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the overlap of the contested lands of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, First Nations people tuning in from whichever land or lands you are listening from. Very, very much welcome to, very, very welcome to have you listening in. And all the lands were stolen and never ceded, always was, always will be Aboriginal land. I'm Sally Goldner. I use the pronouns she and her. And welcome to this edition of Out of the Pan, which first airs noon through 1 Australian Eastern Standard Time every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. Thanks to the crew from Out of the Blue. Diving deep, talking all sorts of marine news today in terms of humans' intrinsic connection to water, water education, and what that means. A great variety of radio on 3CR. And to get in touch with this show, Out of the Pan, there's lots of ways to do it by, as I like to say, the modern means of communication. You can email outofthepan855@gmail.com. You can SMS 61456 751215. Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Instagram at Sal Gold said so, and that's the bottom line. And look for posts on Facebook, Out of the Pan, 3CR, 855 AM Melbourne, and my page, Sally Goldner. Postal address, PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066, and any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. Don't think there'll be any content notes today, but if they turn up possibly later in the show discussing news, that's where I'll give them as needed. But certainly on the show today, the queer comedy continues. It just makes me stop and reflect how many queer, trans, any part of the proverbial rainbow, amazing comedians and performers there are in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And how many I get to interview. It really gladdens my heart to think that we have that sort of entertainment. And one such queer comic is on the Zooms now with me, and that's Chloe Petz. Chloe, welcome to 3CR.
Hi, Sally. Thank you so much for having me.
Chloe, welcome to 3CR. And we're just discussing before you come on, it is welcome back to Melbourne. You're here once again for as part of many reasons. Of course, the one we want to talk about, I suppose, of great note, is your show in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, Big Naturals, where which I've got to find out. Well, you can hint or tease at the answer to that. Don't have to give a direct answer, but I loved the way this described it. Just got me, this is described on the Comedy Festival website at comedyfestival.com.au, taking a deep dive into their upbringing at the height of lad culture, and you bring it from fronting a Christian rock band, accidents on the golf course, and it's your most loutish tour yet. Dive in. First of all, what was the inspiration for doing a show like this?
Well, to be honest, when I sit down and write a show, I have to wait for just a bolt from the blue of just like, right, what am I going to write about? There's never sort of like any calculation to it of like, this year I'm going to write about lad culture. It was just that that seemed to be what rose to the top. And I think it's probably interesting, like, thinking about lad culture in the context of now, right? Because I feel like we always have... History is a pendulum that swings, right? And I think that any time women or minorities get some kind of vague movement towards equality, there's a swing in the opposite direction. Yep. And this kind of these laddish kind of movements happen. So lad culture was sort of a response to third wave feminism. Now we've got sort of this manosphere stuff as a response to the Me Too movement. I guess I was just interested about thinking how those things keep happening. And maybe just to kind of like calm myself down a little bit, because I'm like, we've moved through it before, we'll move through it again, and then it will come back again, and we'll just keep hopefully getting a little bit better each time.
Well, this is the hope that, there will be two steps forward for the proverbial one step backward, or 2 metres forward for 1 metre backwards, so as not to be ableist, I suppose, which is a fair thing to say. But, it is a challenge. I suppose the thing is, in this time where we're seeing, as you say, manosphere, MAGA, and all the other similar names, how do you find the humor in it? There's two parts to this. How do you find humor in it? How do you bring it into the personal, and your own experience? Again, looking at some of the things in that descriptor on the Comedy Festival website.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I never think any of my comedy is overtly political, because I just don't think in that way. And I think that there's other comedians that are doing political stuff far better than I ever could. So I guess my political stance has to be like the personal is political, right? And I just try and remember that the fact that I'm kind of standing up in front of a room full of people as a queer person in this time where a lot of people who have a lot of loud voices want to tell us that that's not okay. Mm. Like for me, that's defiance. And I think what I try and do in this show about lad culture and about growing up in that and the content is basically like, lad culture was intoxicating. There was loads of incredible stuff. It's fun to look at, you know, breasts on the third page of a newspaper in the UK. You know, it's fun to listen to lad rock. It's fun to go to the football. But there's sort of, I guess, a dark underbelly that comes with it. So, yeah, I think talking about that stuff on stage and trying to, like, show people that maybe have a similar experience to me that they're represented, but also people that don't have a similar experience to me, that they're allowed to be included in that conversation, and that actually these conversations aren't as scary as they think they are. And we're not this sort of nebulous group of inaccessible wokies that want to ruin their lives. I feel like, yeah, that's what I'm sort of politically trying to do in a quiet way. But mainly, I'm just trying to make people laugh.
Which is a damn fine thing for comedy. And I think the thing is, it sounds very much like you're doing it with authenticity. And that's something that, regardless of politics, and when I say politics, politics or not, whatever that politics is, heaven knows we need that at the moment. It just seems to be I'll say in terms of visible culture of all sorts, I think of, politicians being the obvious one, there just seems to be a very severe shortage of authenticity. Everyone just, you know, has predetermined lines and says what they want in the minute, that sort of thing. And I think, therefore, authenticity is a damn fine thing.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope that showing that you can be sort of like a fully rounded individual with, like, flaws and good qualities and bad qualities and inconsistencies and hypocrisies. Like, I hope that that's, yeah, maybe that will cut through it somewhere.
Well, you'll have to go and see Big Natural at the Comedy Festival to find out. Well, can you tease or answer outright your call on what's the where did that title come from? Because I often know, talking to a lot of comics, as I said, there's just been so many great comics at the Comedy Festival and last year at Melbourne Fringe, all queer. Often you write a show and then the title comes out last, a bit like that university essay where you do the introduction and the conclusion last, not chronologically. Was there any sort of, anything that comes, what was behind Big Naturals?
Well, I'm not really sure. I just thought it was quite funny. So I actually called it that before I'd written it. I did it the other way around. So I didn't really know what the show was going to be about. Then fortunately, it sort of became vaguely thematically relevant. But it was me and my mate, I don't know, we just found it really funny to refer to Big Naturals, because it felt like very archaic and very like it was really funny to us, because like it just feels like, you know, someone using that phrase is like a man for me in the 90s sat like dialing up the modem so that he could like type into Bing like Nigella Lawson Big Naturals. And that just made me laugh. And then I just said, wouldn't it be if I called my show that? And my mate was like, I think you got to call your show that. And then it's just, it's also amused me because, like, I have to come and do many interviews like this, which I absolutely love. But sometimes they're not as interesting as this, Sally. Sometimes it is for BBC Radio Norfolk. And they go, they can be a little bit dry. And it was just really funny, a serious radio presenter having to say, Chloe Petz, please, will you tell us about your Big Naturals? I just thought it would add some amusement for the press tour.
I like it. I like it. And, yeah, well, yes, 3CR, as much as I have great respect for the BBC, well, at least some years ago, and their quality of radio.
Me too.
I would actually say that my radio mentor on another community radio station here in Australia did a lot of his work at the BBC. Hello, John, who's now living on Kaurna Country / Adelaide. Lovely man. But there's so many things that, you know, that you can talk about here. A Christian rock band. I've got to get some hints about that for our listeners on 3CR. Tell us about a Christian rock band, Chloe.
Yeah, I joined a Christian rock band when I was a teenager. Look, I was, I guess, religious, but being in the Christian rock band was mainly to hang out with my friends Luke and Rachel. And yeah, it was purely social, and it was like it was just so much fun, like playing music with my mates, and also like I'm not that good at music, so I couldn't really be in a mainstream band because I wasn't good enough, but the Christians, they had to accept me whatever. So, you know, when I was offbeat on my bass guitar, you know, they couldn't say anything. It was all in honor of the Lord. But you can't berate me for that.
Well, this is good to see that there's some true Christian acceptance out there in the true spirit of Christianity and Jesus. Well, I think that's a fair thing. I very much like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean... I think, look, I'm as skeptical of organized religion as the next person and the things that it's done to, oppress our community, of course.
Indeed.
I think it's what's interesting to me is like my mum is very religious. She's like a lay preacher, which is basically she can do everything, but I'm not sure what's the, maybe weddings. She can do everything but weddings.
Mm-hmm.
But my mum is like Christian in the kind of traditional sense in that she's like, we love the gays, we love the immigrants, we love the sex workers, you know. She takes like, you know, the teachings of Jesus literally where she's like, we love everyone, we support everyone and we go for everyone. And that's kind of made me a bit more open to like the Christian side of spirituality because I see her model it so radically and so beautifully and like see the teaching that she gives to the people in the church that might otherwise not have heard those arguments. So yeah, I get what the church has done to our people. But I love my mum and I love the values that she has and she's practicing what she preaches. So that's cool.
Yeah, look, I think you raise a really good point there that it is so much about values rather than, you know, sort of all or nothing, religion bad, not religion good, all that sort of thing. There's no all or nothing here. There's wonderful Christians, Jewish, Islamic people, and some, well, maybe not so good because people are people, all that sort of thing. And, you know, if religion helps lift someone and then they can lift someone else in a way that person likes, then it's a good thing. You know, in the way I suppose we're getting into faith more than religion. And, you know, I think it's just sad that what start out as good religious ideas in a lot of religions, you know, do get, twisted or, well, in the both the ethical and the financial sense, corrupted. So, yeah, let's not knock religion. And just the other thing to say, at least you were playing bass. It's four string. What is it? Four strings, so it's a bit easier?
Yeah, four strings, so it's a bit easier. And also you can just, like, go dom, 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 dom. And that is what I did for a lot of the songs was basically just like keeping rhythm and not even doing that very well.
Yeah. No, that sounds well, I haven't picked up my poor guitar, six string acoustic guitar at home. Just seems to I dust it and I tune it. No, I must play it again. Oh, don't get to that. So you're doing better than I am. So yeah, look, I think it is important. The other thing I've got to ask though, the golf course, as well. One day I used to play golf and one day I came home and my next door neighbour said, oh, hello, you've learned how to walk and swear simultaneously. Is that your experience or was it better?
What's that? Sorry, you cut out a tiny bit there. Are you asking me about golf?
Golf, yes, yes. Walking and swearing simultaneously, as it was just once described.
Yeah, it does feel like the quintessentially, like, it feels, well, it's very masculine, but it's also very, for a lot of lesbians play golf, don't they? It feels, yeah, I don't know. There's something about going and escaping to, you know, many acres of land and being away for 4 hours that feels very cathartic. Yes, I played golf when I was younger with my dad. The routine that happens in the show about playing golf with my dad is I had an accident on the golf course, which probably led to some swearing, I would say. And look, this is a classy radio show. I'm not going to go into the details of the kind of accident, but when I say accident, it's exactly the kind of accident that you're thinking. And if you want to hear more about that, then please come to the show. Brilliant. Not too many graphic details are shared because the story is quite simple. But yes, an accident on the golf course. I hope that is enticing enough.
Yeah. No, that sounds very enticing indeed. I'm going to find out when, where, how I can be enticed in due course. It's an amazing, thing. And apparently Mark Twain, the author, once said, golf is a good walk spoiled, or allegedly said that. If anyone wants to find out if that allegedly is true or not true, please get in touch with this show. So much to cover. And the thing is, we mentioned at the start, you're no stranger to Melbourne because you have, if I can ask, a very solid connection here to the so-called Australia that brings you back here.
Yes, I, in coming to the Melbourne International Comedy Festival for the last 4 years, in one of those years, I've managed to pick myself up an Australian partner, which I'm not complaining about. She's fantastic. And it means that I get to come and visit here a couple of times a year, once for the comedy festival, and then usually I'll come around Christmas time. And look, I'm not trying to blow smoke here. It's the best city that I've been to in the world. And I think what I found is sometimes people from Melbourne forget that it's such a good city. And then I have to be like, guys, you know that, like, if you were in the UK and there was like an oil fuel crisis, all of our prices would go up and the charges would go back to the common person. I could not imagine a local authority giving trams for free. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, the local authorities actually care about the people living in this city? I was like, that is not something I could get on board as a British person. But yeah, I feel so lucky every time I come here because, yeah, it just, the weather's beautiful some of the time. the food is incredible. And like you were saying off air beforehand that like it seems like it's taken a bit of time to recover from COVID, but every time I come back here, there's at least like 10 or 15 new food places that I want to try. And it really feels like there's like a boom in this kind of like foodiness of this city. The people are good. You have loads of space to run around and frolic in a way that you don't in London. Everyone pushes each other and gets angry in London. Yeah, I don't know. I just absolutely love it. I just feel so lucky that I get to come and spend a lot of my time here.
Yeah, look, I think you raise a good point. And, you know, look, I don't want to sound like a tourist advertisement or anything, but I am grateful I live here for many reasons. The arts, the moderate climate. Yes, it's changeable, which, of course, is our running in joke, along with the strange right-hand turns. That cars have to make in the central business district, South Melbourne, similar, all those sorts of things. But, you know, there are worse places to be. I'm very fortunate I now live in the inner north of the city, which is I'm the first to admit it's a queer bubble. But I think bubbles are good. You've got to have a safe place, but you've also got to try to venture out of them, you know, get beyond the comfort zone, as they say. So, yeah, I'll give a cheer for Melbourne as well. enjoy it. But the thing is, we want people to enjoy your comedy show, which is Big Naturals, which is part of the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. When and where do they see and hear this show?
Look, we've got about a week left. I'm off on Mondays. We've got exactly seven more shows, I think. It's 8, 10 tonight, because it's Sunday. Mm-hmm. But every other night, it's 9, 10. It's at the Town Hall in the Portrait Room, which is a very fun room to perform in because there is a portrait of many, many mayors looking over me as I perform, which is quite intimidating. But last year it was about eight old white mares, and they've now replaced some of the white mares with some other pictures, which I do discuss. And yeah, it's just a great setting to perform comedy for the good people of Melbourne. So yeah, Melbourne Town Hall, Portrait Room, 9-10 every day, apart from Sundays when it's 8-10 and Mondays when it doesn't happen at all. But yeah, I would love your listeners to come because yeah, it feels like an incredibly interesting radio channel, and I'm sure that the people that listen to it are of a good sort.
Definitely are. Yes, as I always say on this show, we don't have regular listeners on 3CR. We have awesome listeners. So I hope they do come along. I'll have to. I wish I could get along myself. Have to talk about that. And of course, there's as we like to call it, tight ass Tuesdays, where the prices are a bit cheaper. So we can balance the audience out. And then, yeah, as you say, it's tonight, 8:10, tonight, the 12th of April, that is 8:10, and then 14th to 18th, 9:10, and then the last show, Sunday the 19th, 8:10, where we find out about lad culture, Christian rock bands, and what happened on the golf course. Well, Chloe, all I can say is, as we say in Australia, chookers for a great last week of the season, and your great comedy work. And just, as I say, keep it going. We need the authenticity. We need humour. It's a tonic that we all need all the time. Just by being yourself, you're putting your kindness and uniqueness into the world. And we definitely will take all of that.
Thank you, Sally. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Very, very welcome. Hang on a second. I'll just get some more music playing. By the way, we opened up, given that we were talking lad culture, with the Choir Boys, Boys Will Be Boys, from Australian rock in the 80s. And, here's one. Well, it's not an accident on the golf course. Amongst many things, discusses a skiing accident. Here's Joe Walsh from the album The Confessor, and I Broke My Leg. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand. Out of the Pan with Sally.
this is Anna Piper Scott, and you're listening to 3CR. Don't stop me talking.
Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally-made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender-diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
Indeed, thank you Go Kindly for sponsoring Out of the Pan on 3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon, Australian Eastern Standard Time. My late mum always used to say when daylight savings ended, oh, winter's coming. By heavens, yesterday did it feel like it. Snur, as a friend of mine used to say, snur. I don't really like winter. Unless you get to wear fake fur coats or something. Anyway, what a great guest Chloe Petz was. Yep, Big Naturals as part of the comedy festival. I'll have to find a way somehow to get along and see that this week. On a showery day here in this wacky land of ours. Got lots of news to catch up on, and I do thank our various listeners like Roving Reporter and others who have, and Jenny, who have come in with queries about events and happenings in terms of queer and trans stuff in the last few weeks. Well, one, and this is, I suppose, where I'll raise a general content note for transphobia and give the numbers for Switchboard, including, QLife, including Switchboard in Victoria and Tasmania. QLife, a national queer-focused counselling service, 1800 184 527, Rainbow Door, 1800 729 367, because we had the blanket ban decision from the International Olympic Committee to ban trans and intersex women from women's sports for the Olympics. And, well, as I was about to make a flippant sort of remark or imitate something, but it's just utterly ludicrous. You know, we've since seen then we've had billiards and darts ban trans women. Strength, stamina and physique advantage there in billiards and darts, the same as it was with, I think, a year or so ago when chess chimed in on it. And this is why trans people have said it has to be nuanced, about how we do, trans and people with variation of sex characteristics in sport, because clearly that's not an issue. And, the thing is, whether it is in other sports, and I'll start by saying non-contact sports, we all know that trans women do lose a lot of strength and stamina. We don't shrink. I mean, I was 187 centimetres tall before I started hormones and affirmed my gender identity, and I still am. But this idea that there's some sort of advantage in that is just utterly ludicrous. And interestingly, there's now been a piece of research on a cover looking at all the research on this, which finds there isn't conclusive evidence of the benefits of testosterone. Yet this myth, in my opinion, is the politest word I can use. That's half of an eight-letter word. You can guess what eight-letter word I might like to use. Seems to have pervaded things. You know, this whole combination of elements of media sensationalizing trans issues, including sport, elements of politics, the so-called gender criticals, and all the rest of it. And it just really just does not make any sense. And I'm going to give an example of how silly, not only with the three examples that I just mentioned. Now, I know you know, all right, let's get it out of the way first. The running joke on this show is my love of professional wrestling. 12:37 and 1 second was the mention today, but actually it's in context today. I think there's lots of ways professional wrestling can be described in terms of the physical aspects. One of my dear wrestling friends described it as an absurd form of physical theatre. It has some similarities to acrobatics, where you've got to catch people. And in that sense, it is what, we'll just say it is what it is. But really, strength, stamina and physique don't play a part. And I mean, let's leave aside very differences of sex and gender for a minute. There was one that always comes to mind from many years ago in wrestling, where Rey Mysterio, 175 pounds, so I'm just doing some quick mathematics there, that would be about 80 kilos, took on The Big Show, aka Paul White, who's around 500 pounds, or when he was at that time. And yeah, both, as far as I know, cisgender to endosex men, 226 kilos. And, you know, how, you know, of course that's not a sporting contest, but it's there because it is what it is. But it's a big, very big person, 7 foot tall and, you know, 226 kilos or 210 centimetres, if we're going to be consistent in our measurement scheme, versus Rey Mysterio, who's probably around 150 centimetres tall. And yet, the reason I'm mentioning all this is that I got asked about this for a recent media interview that hit The Guardian back in February. And the reporter initially just didn't get it and said, oh, but there must be a code of conduct to deal with this. Well, I mean, you know, maybe she didn't understand professional wrestling, and I'll grant you that I don't either. In all seriousness, that's how much it took. Now, I have to give thanks to a local queer cis woman wrestler, Charlie Evans, who Chevs, as she calls herself, who is very strong about not using the term intergender wrestling, because really, you know, sex and gender don't matter. And she has some very forthright comments, just shows really, for wrestling, let's start there, and I'll come back on topic in a nice neurodivergent way in a second, how silly the ideas can be. And so the thing is, let's take this now beyond sex and gender. If you've got someone 150 pounds, versus someone 500 pounds, well, maybe that's a different thing in a true contact sport, but does it matter whether how the person was assigned or what they are now or what variation of sex characteristics they have? Probably not. And so the thing is, the science, to use that favourite word that shock jocks and right-wing types love to use, is, so much proves that there isn't this testosterone myth. There's also a great book called Testosterone, the Untold Story, which cans the myths of testosterone, which I've looked at in brief, but must get around to reading again in depth. Was naturally written by a woman. Just so silly and so very disappointing. My guess, in all honesty, it was probably done to avoid a fight with Mr. 45-47 over the Olympics. Whether it will be reversed after this Olympics, we don't know. We'll have to wait and see. My guess is there was some pressure from the American government, or there was some behind the scenes goings on. I also don't have much faith in Sebastian Coe. Yeah, he's a great runner. He's probably a nice guy, but is he a scientist? The president of the IOC. So I just really think somehow, well, kind of like what Chloe was saying, that the pendulum will have to swing back in the end. And I think it will. Someone in the end somehow will challenge this and actually take it to court. Now, that's going to be difficult to some extent. Because it's not, there'll be people trying to distort the evidence. But somehow there's got to be some clarity on this that is done by good process, in my opinion. And in the end, we will get there. But right now, obviously, a very stupid decision. And I'm just trying to find the name of the darts player who has now had to retire because she just can't compete anywhere. She obviously doesn't want to compete as a man. That's silly. So it forces people out of sport, particularly so-called elite-level sport. I could be really provocative and say maybe elite sport is a problem. But, there's money invested in it. Oh, did I say that on air? It's only an opinion. What is it? I'm just using my individual freedom to call it as I see it, hey? And the other thing is, why don't we organise sport, at least give it a try sometime, organising sport regardless of sex or gender, but on total overall ability. Because there must be, some women who are better than, say, lower-ranked men. Sounds like one of the things that when anti-equality types always say, oh, why should we have affirmative action? It'll mean women taking men's jobs. Well, if there's women who deserve the job more at the moment, that means there's some undeserving, less competent men in the job. Well, if that shows up some men to be, not as good as some of the women and non-binary people and people with variation of sex characteristics, who cares? So maybe we need to look at how we organise sport by some other way other than sex or gender. Is it ability? Is it size? Is it bone? Can we measure bone density for everyone rather than just some people? And of course, sex testing is another ridiculous component of this ban, which is takes us back 20 years and so many sports bodies and human rights groups have condemned it. And the 29-year-old darts player who's been impacted by this ridiculous ruling from the Darts Regulation Authority and the World Darts Federation is Noah Lynn Van Leeuwen. Noah Lynn, compassion to you, and I hope you can find happiness and purpose in life in some other way. So yes, there's my rant, and I'm proud to do it on 3CR because I think 3CR is probably the only place where we can have, in terms of traditional electronic media, where this sort of debate will at least be fair. And in that light, I'm going to play a couple of quick messages and then come back and talk about a slightly, well, dare I say, I'm going to go for it today, even more controversial topic that I was asked to comment on a few weeks ago, and I'm feeling after, sort of empowered because it is 3CR to talk about it, but it will be a slightly difficult one. So I'll play a couple of messages, give people time to just brace yourself, and then I'll come back and tell you what it is, but it will probably need a content note. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
Hi, I'm Nate Byrne, your friendly neighbourhood weather presenter. Hoping you're having a fine day. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM.
Hi, my name's Robbie Thorpe. I'm doing Black and Deadly on Fridays from 11 till 12 o'clock. Looking at all the best Black and Deadly music, entertainers and performers around this country. Join me then from 11 to 12 Fridays, Community Radio, 3CR, 855 on the AM dial.
La-da-da,
3CR 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thank you for your company. And, great to hear the people supporting 3CR. We heard from fab comedian Anna Piper Scott before, talking about saying hello. And then Nate Byrne, fab out gay weatherman on the ABC. I loved it a few years ago where he got a drag makeover and was gale warning. That just is one of the best appropriate drag names. And, of course, we love a good pun on 3CR, like anything. However, on a very serious note, and I will raise content note warning, I'll say overall to medium here, mention of paedophilia, because the right-wing media have been running on this story over the recent weeks and months. And I'm going to say this, I think 3CR is possibly the only media, or the best place media in Melbourne/Nam, possibly up there as one of the best place media to talk about this with and try to look at it carefully and balanced, because I don't think any trans person would want to comment on mainstream media. And let's start with why that would be. Obviously, paedophilia is horrible. First thoughts have to go to victims, survivors and loved ones of victims and survivors of it. Horrible, horrible thing. But let's also try get past the feelings and the emotions, totally acknowledge them. They are people's truth. When we look at this issue that has been raised of a trans woman in a woman's prison where the person is, I don't know, where there's alleged to be a paedophile. Now, I don't want to go into whether the person is or not, or a conviction or not. But the thing is, let's look at this carefully and, go through it bit by bit. First of all, why should that stop other trans women who have nothing to do with paedophilia being put in a women's prison? So let's get past the emotion and look at this calmly. If it is, and the Victorian guidelines that have been in force for at least 15 years, as I understand them, still are that when you've got someone with variation of sex characteristics or who is trans or gender diverse, there's a combination of factors that need to be looked at. The safety of that person, the safety of other people in custody, and the safety of custodial staff. And this is what needs to be considered. So a trans woman who, let's say, is a white-collar criminal, should that person, that person is probably, more likely, all other things being equal, best placed in a woman's prison, if that is going to be best for that person. Now, if someone has been a paedophile or is violent, then obviously safety needs to be considered. But the thing is, can that be done in a way without doing solitary confinement that minimises contact with other prisoners? And let's face it, if the trans woman is put in a men's prison, would the other men necessarily be safe? There might be some men who wouldn't be. A cisgender male white-collar criminal in there might not be safe. So how do you deal with that? The other thing comes up is paedophiles are at least predominantly attracted to children. If they're nowhere near children and there are relatively few children in women's prisons, what is the issue? So it goes, once we start looking at this more carefully, breaking it down, this issue has to be tackled. But I'd be quite honest with your listeners, I would not be willing to comment on this on virtually any mainstream media outlet in Australia. I don't believe I would get a fair hearing. That's why I've decided to comment on it here, and thank you. I can't remember whether it was Jenny or Roving Reporter who asked me about this. My apologies. It's just been a lot of things to catch up on over the last few weeks. But that's why I've held off on this. And this is why, you know, I don't want to, to use the phrase used by Chloe in their interview, blow smoke or anything, but this is where 3CR is possibly the only media outlet that's able to handle this carefully, because there is a willingness to look at it in a balanced way, which I have not seen in any commercial media. And I don't blame anyone who wouldn't, as I say, who was trying to take a balanced view from not going on commercial media. I also understand that one of the victims of violence from the alleged violent trans woman prisoner was wanting to sort of speak to mainstream media and say, look, I don't want to victimize or stereotype or vilify all trans women either, but probably didn't think they'd get a fair hearing. And that's sad too, because we're not hearing even from them. So these are things that, you know, sort of have to get discussed somewhere and at least get this argument out into the open in a better way. But as I say, trust mainstream media to do it well, I'm not so sure. What's the old gag about the mainstream media? That is it, the Murdoch journalist who thought ethics was a county in England. Anyway, Roving Reporter, hello to you, Roving. You're out there, but not as out there as the crew of the Artemis have been over the last week. On the far side of the moon. It's technically not the dark side, because apparently it does get some sunlight sometimes. And you said you're inspired by the science and the amazing crew of the Artemis astronauts in the last week or so. Recommend the press conference with them and the words of wisdom from these amazing people. I've heard some of them and just some of their philosophy about what we can do on Earth. I'm totally... another wrestling reference with at 12:54:17, tagging in with you, Roving. Their words of wisdom and philosophy and thought and kindness have been excellent. And, you know, I imagine when you're up there, you know, within space and there's technical things going on and you've got to worry about splashdown, all that sort of thing, quite amazing. And so they are heroes and inspiring people. And then on another topic, you've mentioned... That word has been loosely with an Australian arrested at a domestic airport. There's now debate about that. And I have to say debate. There's all sorts of back and forth there. I'm not going to go into great detail on it. But yes, who really are our heroes? That's a good question. Sometimes I think, this is probably worth saying in this time, I've had a few conversations about the proverbial state of the world with friends over recent times. And yes, a lot of depressing stuff out there, but I think the heroes of the world are the people who try to put their kindness into the world every day. And kindness can be creativity, it can be art, it can be comedy. And for example, as we heard from our guest Chloe Petz, they're the heroes of the world, the people who, do... battle on. I mean, that's the real origin of the Aussie word battlers, in my opinion. They're the heroes. They're all around us. We just have to look a little harder for them, because maybe they're not being programmed into the social media and conventional media algorithms. So they are some of the heroes that we need to look to. They are out there. That seems like a nice way to finish the content of the show today, but keep your radio locked on 3CR, 855 AM, digital3cr.org.au. Thanks once again to Chloe Petz. Freedom of Species is going to talk about the struggle against animal agriculture and how it's essential within the climate movement today. Also, always great info on Freedom of Species. Rotations at 2, Queering the Air at 3, Salaam Radio at 4. That's your lineup for the afternoon on 3CR. We'll take it out today. And just to balance out the music, because we had two very laddish songs in line with our guest and their topic, I'm going to play a favourite. I love this song, just the guitar, the harmonies, the language, the words in this. and that is Caitlin Harnett and the Pony Boys. Let's have a little bit of Caitlin to take us out today, and a track from All Night Long from a few years ago. Time for your third album, Caitlin, please. And I'll Get By. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. I'll catch you next week. Oh, and remember, stay difficult and stay happy. Catch you next week.
I don't hate myself anymore. Since you left, I've been standing tall. Now I can't even stand you at all. Oh, honey, I'll get by without you. Honey,
you've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.